Good morning, Living Hope. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, I'm excited to be with you this morning. And, you know, when the Lord downloads, you look at it at times and you go, Lord, is this, am I hearing you right? Is this what you want me to talk about this morning? Well, I'm going to tell you, not only did Jeannie come up and share with you some things that were leading to this message, but Peter, Kevin, each of you have said something that goes with the message. And so when I hear that the Lord moves that way, I move with confidence because I know that what I heard is what we need to hear for today. You know, one of the things that I was so blessed when Rachel said was, you know, I kind of went my own way. I did my own thing, and I went to another church, and, you know, it just was fluff. There was no meat and potato. There was, you know, how many times can you hear that same message over and over and over and over again, and your life doesn't change? And we're not here to do that. We're here to change, to be accountable, to understand that God has a purpose and a plan, and that time is short. Do you know that Jesus offended? Okay. Do you know that he didn't do it on purpose, in the sense that he was trying to be mean-spirited? He did it so that you could be presented with where you are and where you could be. See, sometimes we get really comfortable where we are and we don't want to change. And God says, I have so much more for you. But in the present state that you are in, you can't handle it. It would crush you. So trust in me, says the Lord. Amen. This morning, I wanted to let you know something you may not be aware about. It's Christmas time. Next week, I'm going to be talking to you. The Lord wants me to share with you Christmas without Jesus, because that's what we have. Our world calls it Christmas, but there's no Jesus in anything. The songs, the celebrations. And so, when I think about Christmas, my first thought is about the baby Jesus. It just is. And I'm always in awe when I see a newborn. I mean, I know that Adeline is a year old. Time goes by so fast. But to see a newborn baby, the preciousness of life, and the sheer amazement of life that's been created. It's just amazing. And when I think about the baby Jesus, I'm reminded of a promise made and a promise fulfilled by a living God. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says this, To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day as we come to worship you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we do not seek wisdom this morning, but we seek revelation. For it's revelation that brings transformation. Holy Spirit, our desire is that we be transformed this morning by the renewing of our mind. We ask this in Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Amen. Have you ever thought why is it important to have a biblical worldview? Now, do you know that there are two views, right? There is a biblical worldview and there's a secular worldview. So why is it important that we as believers have a biblical worldview? Well, do you know that there might be some that are here, maybe some that are watching, that you might have heard that for the first time, and maybe you don't know what a biblical worldview is? A biblical worldview is a framework of beliefs and values based on the teachings of the Bible, guiding how individuals interpret the world and make decisions. It emphasizes that God is the ultimate source of truth and shapes responses to various aspects of life, including ethics, purpose, and relationships. When we talk about having a biblical worldview, there are a few key elements. One, a biblical world truth believes that there's absolutes, that there is absolute truth, belief that moral truths exist and are defined by the Bible. Another key element of a biblical worldview is that a biblical worldview gives us the purpose of our life. Understanding that the primary reason for existence is to love and to serve God. And the last key element that I want to share about a biblical point of view is that it gives us ethical guidance. In other words, decisions and actions are shaped by biblical principles. Hence, it's called a biblical worldview. Our biblical worldview also, our identity, who we are, our purpose, all come from a creator. A creator who wants you to have life, and he wants you to have it more abundantly. Do you know that God is not holding out on you? That God loves you. And he wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. But what if there was someone who wants to steal your identity? Kill your hopes and dreams. And to destroy your lineage and their inheritance. John 10:10 tells us who that is. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So think about it. We have a creator who wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, while there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. But what if I told you, you could lose everything? Everything with one thought. That's called a pregnant pause. I'm like trying to let that sit in. Because like everything, you can lose everything on one thought. Who wins champions? Who wins championships? Whether you think about football or you think about baseball, who wins championships? Those who believe they can. Those who believe they can. You see, that's a thought. One thought. What is the one thought? A biblical worldview of who you are versus a secular worldly view. That's the one thought. One thought. One thought, and the outcome is totally different. What if Satan, in a secular worldview, can reduce your perception that instead of a wonderfully created being, you are reduced to that of an animal? You know, survival of the fittest. One thought. So I ask myself this question again. How does one thought alter our belief and in turn our behavior? While creationism asserts that the universe and life were created by a divine action, evolutionary theory explains the diversity of life through a natural process. While creationism emphasizes a supernatural origin, evolution relies on scientific evidence and mechanisms like natural selection. Today we experience many issues in our schools, in society in general. People being mean to each other, hurting each other. People hurting people emotionally. People hurting people physically. People hurting people financially. You should see it in the schools. That's why I was so encouraged when you just told me, here is a young man who gets an award for kindness. That's a great honor, because that's not the norm or what we've chosen to accept as the norm. Because this being mean and hurtful and spiteful and hurting people emotionally and physically and financially, because this is not the desired outcome, we try to alter behavior without altering their belief system. So you know what that creates? More rules. More laws. Do you think we have enough laws in the books right now? Do you know how many rules we have in the school system in the district? It's like every kid who tried to find a loophole, we have another rule for that loophole. You see, we're trying to make up laws and rules to alter a behavior without altering a belief system. If you believe one thing, it doesn't matter about the laws and the rules, because your belief system doesn't line up with those laws or rules. If we teach evolution, then we are merely just animals acting to survive, driven by sex, survival of the fittest, aggressive behaviors with self-interest. Do you see that today? Then after teaching this indoctrination, how can we then demand that they act civil? Being kind to each other, respecting each other, helping each other. If we are teaching our children and this generations to come that we are just merely animals acting on impulse, how can we expect a different type of behavior? It's ludicrous. How can you teach one mindset and expect a total different behavior? Because that's what we're doing. That's what we have done for generations. We are teaching a mindset against the Word of God, and then we try to tell them to act different. How is that working? But we're just animals. Survival of the fittest. It's me, my eye, what I want. I don't need to care about you. But is there no wonder that so many people are asking questions like, why am I here? What is my purpose? Does my life have any purpose? Or maybe you hear people say, I'm here by accident. Do I have any value? You see, these questions are asked because if all you are is reduced to an animal, there's no answer for those questions. So instead of teaching a biblical worldview, we have counselors who will just keep counseling. I know a couple of psychologists. One of them makes an extremely hefty six-digit income. And I would dare say it's almost a seven-digit income to sit there and have people come in, and he listens to them and he goes, okay, well, looks like you made it through this week. I'll see you next week. Well, if I was you, I'd do this and this and this. We all need to know that we have a purpose. Else, what's the point of life? Some of you here might have even at some point in your time pondered that question. Because in doing so, you are using the secular worldly view to evaluate your life, your purpose, and who you are. But Psalms 139 verse 14 says this, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? I don't hear those words at all in evolution. But a biblical world says, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If we are shown that we are created by a loving God, a God who honors life, a God who sees the best and desires the best of each of us, would it then be unrealistic to expect being kind to each other or respecting each other or helping each other? Isn't that possible? I learned my ultimate purpose when I read the statement from God. It's found in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I was going to ponder right there for just a second. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's God speaking to you. I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my holy purpose. Yes, before you were born, God knew you and set you apart. Perhaps you didn't know that before. But if it's true, if that statement is true, wouldn't that change how you see yourself? Now, isn't it amazing that Kevin just got up here during testimony time and he said, look in the mirror and what do you see? Are you professing that you have been set apart for his purpose? That each of you has a purpose? You're not supposed to be like me. You're not supposed to be like Kevin. You're not supposed to be like Jeannie. You're not supposed to be like Rusty. You're not supposed, you know, you're not supposed to do that. God has called you because he knew you before you were born. And he set you apart for his holy purpose. If you understand that, I'm going to just tell you, you wake up with a little bit different perspective of your life in that day. But there's an enemy who lies to you and wants to keep you from finding out the truth and finding God's purpose in your life. He'll trip you up. He'll distract you. That thing that you wanted, you don't get. That job you were looking to hopefully land, you don't land it. And God says, hang on, don't you worry, because I got something better for you. Why would you take second best when you can wait for it, and get the best? Sometimes we can be so impatient. But God wants the best for you. But the enemy wants you to lie to you. He wants you to be deceived. He wants you to not find the truth. He's a liar. So he'll tell you that you're just an animal. You don't matter. You don't matter. There's no God. But God says, I knew you before you were born, and I've set you apart for his holy work. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, and I love this one, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you wake up speaking that verse? Do you see that? That's what God is speaking over your life. To be able to go in the mirror, Lord, I know the plans you have for me. They are good plans. And you've given me a future and a hope. And you can say it in whatever words you want. But you know what? You start professing that, and then you start looking for those good plans. And you start finding out, oh, I got blessed in that. Oh, I got blessed over there. Ooh, 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 ooh. But unless you're professing, unless you're aware of it, it goes by. I know the plans I have for you. You know, you might not know your plans right now, and that's okay. But the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. And here's what I thought. The Word of God says that when you come to the Lord, he comes to you. Like we're all sitting there going like, yeah, well, where is he? Chase him. Look for him. And you'll find him. And when you get close enough, you'll hear his voice. You know, when I think about our Heavenly Father, it reminds me of my dad. Dad was a brawny man. He was a good-sized guy, you know, not fat or anything, but, you know, he was in the military, served in a couple of branches. Really proud of my dad. But, you know, the one thing that I love the most is when Dad didn't shave for a day. I'm just being honest with you, and Dad would give me a hug. There was just something about being in his embrace and that scruffy feel on my little child cheek. You know what I'm saying? And it was just something about that. And then just to hear him say something like, hey, I love you, Stevie. Sometimes you have to get close enough to hear the intimate words. So, would it change your life if you knew that God's plan and purpose for your life was for good? That he only purposed good things for you? A good future? A great hope? Wouldn't that be exciting if we were thinking about that? So this morning you might be asking, then why hasn't my life turned out differently? You might be asking. Thank you, Eric, for asking that question. I appreciate that. Why hasn't my life turned out differently? If you are taught to fight for what you want, that only you and your desires matter, that you are told to take advantage of the other guy before he takes advantage of you. You've heard these things, right? Is it no wonder that the demonstration of our behavior and attitudes, both in our schools and in society, are deplorable? Get what you get, because you might not get it tomorrow. You're the only thing that matters. Do you know that animals live by instinct? It always makes me laugh when it doesn't make me laugh, but... Like, you know, here are these lion tamers in the cage. You know, I don't know if some of you know about the Barnum and Bailey circus there. And he would always put his head into the lion's thing. And then one day the lion decided, well, I'm not had enough of this. And chomped down right on the guy's head. He lived. He has some injuries. Yeah. I could tell you about photographers who have gone to Alaska to, you know, take pictures of the bears, and oh well, they're just wonderful and cuddly, and only to be consumed. Because see, somehow in our mind we put more value on an animal and think that there's emotions and feelings and love, but you are animals created to just survive, because that's what we're taught. We've been teaching that to generations for generations. Animals by instinct. That's what you are. That's what the world will tell you. And we should not be surprised to have a generation that is plagued with sexual assault, murder, suicide. Do you know that the suicide rate among young people right now is the highest it's ever been in the history of this world, this country? Sometimes I ask myself, how could it be that things are so bad that the only thing you think to get out of it is to take your life? No hope, because you're just an animal. No purpose. You can't spend an entire generation teaching a generation they are nothing but purposeless animals and then be surprised when they act like animals. Oh, let's take those Ten Commandments out of schools. Let's take them out of our government. Show me one thing on those Ten Commandments which is offensive. Do you know that none of those are pushing any kind of religion or any. Each one of those has a purpose of humanity. Yes, they're biblical worldviews, but every one of those is a blessing when followed. But we got to take that out. God forbid you should feel that you're a created being in the image of God when we want to teach you that you're an animal. Animals don't need God. Animals don't need salvation. And if we're just animals. This one hit me. If we're just animals, how can that baby in a manger be God? You see, if we're animals, we can take God right out of the picture. And now Christmas, we can take Christ right out of Christmas. Because it isn't about a promise given and a promise fulfilled. It isn't about redemption. It isn't about a God reaching out to show you that He loves you so much that He gave His best for you. Because if you're just an animal, it doesn't matter. We don't matter. If we're just animals, that baby Jesus doesn't matter. And that's what Satan wants you to believe. This morning, I want to tell you that God loves you. He sent His Son, Jesus, to a cross and gave His life for you. You were bought with a price. But I need to tell you that you've been lied to. A lie that says that you are nothing when you are everything to God. A lie that says that you are worthless, yet God created you with a plan and a purpose for good. Jesus gave His life to purchase yours. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ. He gave His life because He loved you. You have value. You're not just an animal, but you are a creation of God in His image. So this morning, the question presented is this. Whose view matters? Whose view matters? Will you believe in a secular worldview that tells you that you are no more than an animal without purpose, direction, or value? Or will you believe a creator that tells you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? A creator who formed you in the womb and knew you before you were born. A creator who set you apart for His holy purposes. A creator that declares that He knows the plans He has for you. Plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. A creator that reveals absolute truth through His word. A creator that brings purpose to our lives and a fulfillment in our existence through our loving and serving Him. A creator that gives guidance in our decisions and actions in our daily lives. Whose view matters? This morning, I'd like to share with you God's view matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this morning. Holy Spirit, this morning we realize God's view matters. Help us to stand on a biblical worldview. This morning, we realize that our identity, our purpose, our dreams and hopes, our inheritance all come from You, our Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, we are fighting a war, a cultural war. Strengthen us, guide us, encourage us to demonstrate Your truth and righteousness. With all authority in love, enable us to boldly speak Your truth and righteousness. And this morning, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, our spiritual act of worship. This morning, if you have not given your life to the Lord, or you'd like to rededicate your life, that you are deciding this morning that you are going to believe a biblical worldview, would you just pray this with me? Lord, I repent of my sin, knowing and unknowing. I am sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, I come to you, and I invite you to come into my life right now. You showed me your love by giving your life for me. I now give my life to you and receive your Holy Spirit to guide me. Help me and give me peace. I declare that you are now my Lord and Savior. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. As we leave this morning, I want you to just take a second to think about what we covered. Do you understand that over the last several generations, decades, one thought has altered the outcome of our schools, our government, our society? One thought, alteration. Instead of us believing that we have a biblical worldview, Satan wants you to believe any worldview will be fine, especially if it's a secular worldview. When I ponder that thought and I think about what's going on in the schools, when I think about what's going on in government, when I think about what's going on just in people's homes, when we are reduced to just animals living by instinct, we lose the blessing of knowing who we are and the purpose that we were created for. Stand on your biblical worldview. And all your questions, the directions in life, your purpose will be very clear. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you and shalom.